Bob Barnum, and that is the latest from the WFAS Weather Center.
WFAS!
The following is a paid program. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor and not necessarily those of WFAS or its advertisers.
Peace of mind with Lippman Cross.
Welcome, everybody, to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, from the law firm Lippman Crooks. We're based right here in White Plains and also have offices in Fishkill, New York and Manhattan. And we're heard every week on Thursday evening on WFAS AM 1230 from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. And tonight, we've got two special guests from the Pace Women's Justice Center. We've got Joan Miller and Susan Frilotto. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you, Bernie, for having us here.
Thanks very much for having us.
It's so good to have you, and I'm sure many of our listeners have heard of or know of the Pace Women's Justice Center, but Joan, why don't you tell us a little bit of background, how it started, and what it's all about?
Okay, we started in 1991, which means we've been around for a while. We're self-funded. We're not for profit. We operate out of White Plains. We have satellite offices in the White Plains Courthouse and the Yonkers Family Courthouse. We are connected with Pace University School of Law, although we are really grant-funded primarily. And we provide a variety of services to the community, to domestic violence victims and survivors, to seniors, and we also provide a variety of education programs to police force and the legal community.
Now, self-funded, does that mean you don't get grants?
We get grants from the county. When I say self-funded, I guess I'm really referring to the fact that a lot of people get confused. They think we're funded by Pace University,
right?
And we're not. So we rely on county grants, federal grants, and New York State grants, and the kindness of strangers who want to contribute.
So somebody actually applies for the grant?
Yes, we have a grant writer.
And is it affected by the economy?
I think it will be, yeah. Because we will not get any increases in grants this year, certainly.
So it's going to be tough to just keep it at sea level.
That's right.
And the goal here is to educate people in the community and also professional people like policemen and others about domestic violence?
That's right, to raise the level of awareness and thereby really to provide better services and better protection to the women who are victims.
Is it always women?
In our family court legal program, which provides free services and helps women get orders of protection, that service is only for women. But our helpline, which rings all day and which we answer probably 2,000 calls a year, anybody can call, men, women.
Child.
And our elder services are for men and women both.
And the typical call, is it somebody calling in a crisis or is it after the fact?
It's both. Our helpline, of course, is not a hotline. It's a helpline, so it doesn't run 24 hours a day. But we sometimes get calls from women who really need to get an order of protection very quickly. They need to think about safety planning. Sometimes we refer them to shelters, and we help them get in if they need to do that very quickly. A lot of the calls are from people who are thinking about a divorce, who need a divorce, who have issues with child custody, child support, visitation, and who need information on how to get their orders of protection if they need it.
Are you able to help them with their matrimonial questions, or do you refer them to a divorce attorney?
We give them advice and information on the phone. We give them referrals on the phone. And there's a lot of information we can provide them. We also have a divorce question and answer manual, which we send them. We have a moderate means matrimonial panel, and attorneys in the community volunteer to participate in that and to take a couple of cases a year at a reduced rate, which is $100 an hour. It's not free, but it is better than $350 or $400 an hour. So that's of some help, some limited help to people with moderate means.
Now, you service all of Westchester, right?
That's right.
So it's not just the areas that might not be well off economically, but in fact, all the areas.
It's all the areas, yeah.
Is that a misconception that perhaps people have, that it only happens in certain areas?
Oh, absolutely. Domestic violence happens in all socioeconomic levels. And that does surprise people.
And when you get a call, is it subject to any confidentiality provisions?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We are attorneys, and even though we may just be speaking to them on the telephone and not signing a retainer letter or technically representing them, we are everything is confidential.
I bet a lot of people probably don't proceed after the first call. They're just looking for information, and it maybe takes
sometimes, more. Sometimes. That's true. That's true.
And then there's follow-up afterwards?
And if they want to call back, they can call back. If they want to think about things and proceed later, they can do that. It really takes – sometimes it takes women a lot of time in order to leave an abusive relationship. Statistically, it's 8 tries before they actually are successful at leaving.
How do they come to that? So how do they determine that?
It's a very individual process, but you have to understand it's very scary to leave because that's the most...
No, but how do they know it's 8 times?
I don't know. Good question.
Yeah.
But that is the statistic. So we're very used to people coming into, for example, the family court legal program and having a half hour, an hour consultation and filling out the petition and then getting ready to go into court. And you know what? They change their mind.
Right at the 11th hour.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're used to that, you know.
And that doesn't mean they won't proceed later on.
Doesn't mean they won't come back. And it doesn't mean they might come back and do the same thing the second time.
And the order of protection is necessary because a lot of times after the spouse finds out that the other spouse called, they get more violent?
Often, yeah. It's really the most dangerous time.
Okay, and you focus on all different kinds of abuse, but Susan, you focus on primarily elder abuse, right?
I do.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, we have a grant. This is our fourth year of funding from Westchester County Department of Senior Programs and Services, and I work with Barbara Wolfert. My background, I came out of the DA's office, and I prosecuted elder abuse cases there. And Barbara came from Legal Services. She has many years' experience there. So both of us, between the two of us, we work a full week at PACE. And we provide free legal services to seniors who've experienced some kind of abuse. And, you know, with elder abuse, we often automatically think of physical abuse, but we have lots of financial abuse cases. Elder abuse can also be psychological or emotional with threats to seniors. Our cases, unlike the... although the helpline provides services to men also, in the elder abuse area, we provide services to men and women. Also, we provide services without regard to income. And just as Joan was saying with domestic violence, it crosses all socioeconomic levels. Even now, we know about the Marshall case in New York City, the prosecution of Brooke Astor's son there. You know, it doesn't matter. You can have lots of money and be the victim of elder abuse and very little money and also be victim of elder abuse.
Did the publicity surrounding the Brooke Astor case have any effect on your volume?
You know, I don't. We have a steady stream of calls, and I certainly haven't noticed anything with this week's case starting in New York City. I can't say that. But we do have a steady stream of callers, and every time I think, oh, this is the worst that I've ever heard, you know, the next day can often bring something even more serious.
And who usually calls? Is it the victim or is it another family member?
It's often another family member. It's sometimes someone from the community. We get referrals from the Adult Protective Services, you know, an arm of Department of Social Services. They call us, offices for the aging throughout the county. You know, we've had doctors refer cases to us. We get cases from all areas of the community.
So if you get a referral, whether it's from APS or from the Department of Aging or wherever, you must do some investigative work beforehand, before going into court. I mean, sometimes it's just sour grapes, right?
Sometimes it can be. Sometimes one sibling will call,
right,
very disgruntled because, you know, they feel the other sibling is convincing mom to, you know, turn over the bank account or whatever. Yeah, absolutely. And also, you know, capacity is really a significant issue when you're working with someone who may be frail and or disabled. So we will not call a client. We expect that a client that we would be working with is going to make a telephone call, initial call to us. So if a community, let's say a neighbor calls us, we'll say, well, you know, if you think your neighbor needs our services, please have them call us. And so then we will follow up in that way.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a difficult situation because a lot of times the victim is so reliant upon the person who's abusing them, right?
Yes.
They take them to the doctor, make sure they take their medication, and
maybe
there's a reluctance to even report it.
Absolutely. It can be embarrassing, you know, devastating to think that someone who's close to you, your son or your daughter, is doing this to you. So just as the domestic violence victim needs 8 tries to get going, we have quite a number of clients that we talk to regularly who have not yet been able to, you know, go into a courtroom, have us bring them into a courtroom to obtain an order of protection or take that first step.
And even in today's economy, with the baby boomer generation perhaps being out of jobs and suffering from a depressed economic climate, maybe it is more, even more potential to sort of take the inheritance a little early.
I'm afraid you are probably right. You know, one red flag from the time I was in the DA's office, and I just see it now, is, you know, that middle-aged child who's lost his job and is back home. His wife has left him, perhaps has some sort of mental illness going on, a drug, maybe substance abuse issue. That's always been a red flag.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk further about some of the differences and some of the similarities between domestic abuse and elder abuse. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney, and we'll be right back.
Every parent worries about their kids. Unfortunately, when you have a child with disabilities, the worries are much greater.
Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Amy and Bruce had been talking about going to a lawyer to help them ever since Charlie was born. Charlie has cerebral palsy.
The experts at Littman Crooks helped Amy and Bruce set up a special needs trust to provide for Charlie's medical and financial needs for today and for the future.
The rules are very complex. You truly do need an expert to help you navigate through all the federal and state regulations to make sure that your child gets the benefits he or she is entitled to.
Do you have a child with special needs? Call the law offices of Littman Crooks.
We don't know what the future holds for Amy, Bruce, or their son Charlie, but what Amy and Bruce do know is that they've done everything in their power to ensure that Charlie has the best quality of life possible when Amy and Bruce are here and when they're not here.
Peace of mind.
Littman Crooks in White Plains, Manhattan, or at littmancrooks.com.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm speaking with Joan Miller and Susan Furlato of the Pace Women's Justice Center. I'm from the law firm Littman Crooks, and you can learn more about us online at littmancrooks.com. And tonight we're talking about domestic violence and elder abuse. And Joan, your center handles many domestic violence cases each year. What kind of tips do you give people who might be neighbors or family members or law enforcement officials? What should they look for as signs of domestic violence?
Well, I think you have to be very sensitive to whether an individual is being isolated, for example, cut off from family and friends, because that's one way of controlling people. I think you have to be very sensitive to whether someone's finances are being controlled, because that's often another way of controlling people. They don't have access to money. They don't have access to their car keys if they aren't getting out. If you have someone, for example, a family member or a caretaker who brings the senior to the bank and helps, quote unquote, helps them withdraw large sums of money, We actually have done trainings with bank employees to help them recognize that that could be a problem and to try to alert the proper people who might be able to step in and do something about that before it's too late. You know, we recently had a case where an elderly woman had a caretaker that she really liked, and she, of course, had been banking with her local bank for many years. And suddenly this caretaker left, and she was trying to find somebody else, but her banker called her and said, you know, there's just been a check that's come through for $10,000 made out to so-and-so, and, you know, Mrs. Samuels, that's just not like... I'm just calling to check, because you don't usually write checks that big. And, of course, she didn't write that check. So they stopped payment on it immediately, and that was someone who was very alert and had really been sensitive to the issues. And it reminds me of course, Hillary Clinton saying it takes a village. It really takes a village to help people with the elder abuse situation precisely because it's so complicated, and often the people that are perpetrators are the people that the senior loves and depends on. So it really takes a lot of resources. And we've also trained the police to be able to recognize signs of abuse. We've done a number of those trainings, because often the police come and, you know, even if there are bruises or marks or whatever, they would think that the person just fell or just, you know, they might not be sensitive to the fact that this was actually something that had been done to the senior deliberately. And I think the police have come a long way in being sensitive to what to look for. Is there food in the refrigerator, for example? If there are any pets, are the pets being cared for? You know, what's happening? You know, who should be called? You know, last week I got a call from one of the detectives in White Plains. And he said, you know, something going on there. He said, you know, would you be able to help? So Susan and I talked it over and you know, to see what we could do.
Well, that was good that he brought you in.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Now, Susan, there must be some additional issues regarding elder abuse as opposed to domestic violence, because as you alluded to earlier, there's a capacity issue. How do you know if the victim has the requisite capacity to report a credible offense? I mean, what factors do you use?
You know, it's a judgment call. We had one case where we received a telephone call from a woman who said her friend was in a nursing home and she wanted to go home and the nursing home wouldn't let her leave. So in that case, we said to the friend, well, tell your friend to call us. And she did. And so Barbara and I went down to the nursing home and we met this woman. We were there for 2 hours and we were we were looking for a crack somewhere because she was on a dementia floor of this nursing home. And she seemed very, you know, to have capacity to us. So she actually signed a retainer. The nursing home wouldn't talk to us, however, because they determined she didn't have capacity. So we brought in a psychiatrist who did an evaluation who determined that she certainly had capacity. Still, the nursing home wasn't going to talk to us. They kept telling us to talk to the family member who had power of attorney and who was her health care proxy. And he wouldn't talk to us. He had us go to her attorney and his attorney said, well, I'm not talking to you. She really can't retain you. She doesn't have capacity. So after we had the psychiatrist's evaluation, she clearly wanted to leave this nursing home, was on the dementia unit, did not need to be, you know, receiving this level of care. We brought in a care manager who interviewed her, who took her out of the nursing home and brought her to go back to her home to see if that was going to be an appropriate place. Actually, she's gone to live in an independent facility within the county. So, you know, because we're told someone doesn't have capacity, someone of authority says this individual doesn't, it took a lot of work to, you know, convince people that, in fact, we do have a woman here who is in a nursing home and who doesn't want to be here and doesn't need that level of care, can make a decision as to where she wants to be.
A nursing home is not supposed to be a jail, right?
Right, right.
And if you want to leave, you should be able to leave.
That's right.
Now, Joan, not all nursing homes are bad, right? In fact, there's a very good one
absolutely
locally.
Absolutely right.
Tell
That's
us about
absolutely
this.
Absolutely right. One very good nursing home that we partner with, actually, is the Hebrew Home for the Aged in Riverdale. And we have actually opened up with them the first elder abuse shelter in the country. And this is a way to provide a place for an elderly person to go if they are really in danger. And one of the reasons that this particular elder abuse shelter, well, any elder abuse shelter is needed, is because the regular shelters aren't set up for seniors. They aren't set up for people who may have physical disabilities or may need help with their medication or just are not able to do stairs and things like that. So the Hebrew Home has really set up a very, very unique program, and I think we've helped about 160 people through that program. And once they get there, they're integrated into the whole setting. They're not stigmatized. They're not in a separate ward, and they get all the regular opportunities and services that the other seniors there get.
So even though it's in the Bronx, you're able to partner with them?
That's right. That's right. We are. And this has all, of course, been helped by the Westchester County Department of Senior Programs and Services, and May Carpenter in particular is someone with a great deal of vision and a great deal of commitment to the senior, to the seniors, and Westchester is very fortunate.
Are they thinking about expanding that program perhaps to another nursing home and maybe in Westchester? Do they have the funds?
At the moment, I do not think they have the funds. Would they like to? Absolutely. Are they thinking about how they could do it and talking with other groups and talking with other groups across the country, actually? Absolutely, because this particular program is really a model for others to follow.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's
really
terrific.
A model. Yeah,
And it can be and should be a model for others.
Yeah.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're going to take a short break and be right back.
Sooner or later, disability or illness strikes every family. And unfortunately, that's not the time to do the planning. The best time is in advance, before a crisis strikes.
Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Lippman Crooks.
Susan, Vincent and Sheila's oldest daughter, had called us because one of her friend's parents recently had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and their financial affairs were a mess. They had not done any advance planning.
Susan didn't want that to happen to her parents. The caring professionals at Lippman Crooks helped her design a comprehensive plan that provided for long-term care while protecting her parents' hard-earned assets.
Susan and her siblings now have the peace of mind of knowing that their parents can go on with the rest of their lives without having to worry about what would happen if one of them became sick or disabled.
Your parents had big plans for you. Make sure you have one for them. Call the law offices of Lippman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Lippman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, from the law firm Lippman Crooks. And we can be visited online at lippmancrooks.com. Today we're talking to Joan Miller and Susan Ferlato of the Pace Women's Justice Center, the Westchester Division. And ladies, what advice can you offer someone who might be listening who's perhaps in a situation that we've described tonight, whether it's a domestic abuse situation or an elder abuse?
I think it's important for our audience to know that Westchester County has services that are available. And if, you know, I know that several attorneys at the Justice Center sit on the we have a coalition in Westchester County sponsored by the Department of Senior Programs and Services against elder abuse. And there are representatives from all of the offices for aging, from the Adult Protective Services there. There are private attorneys, the Attorney General's Office, Department of Consumer Protection. So a telephone call, for instance, to our agency, to the Justice Center, if we can't help, we will then make a referral to one of these other agencies. We work closely with these other agencies in our county. I don't want people to think they have to have sorted through all of the issues and be sure, yes, this is a case of elder abuse, the Justice Center is going to be able to step in here and help us, or no, this is not a case. Let us help work through the facts with the caller on the phone. As Joan said before, telephone calls to us are confidential, and we are very rigorous with that. The caller need not worry that that confidentiality would be breached. And let us help talk through the situation and see whether, in fact, we can help. So I would invite everyone to make a telephone call and, you know, let us help them decide whether we can help or another agency can help.
Joan, anything you want to add?
Well, obviously, if someone is really in danger, they should call 911. And, you know, it's always a question of making sure you're physically safe. And if there's imminent harm that you really are facing, you need to call the police. If you have more time to prepare and to think about it, again, a safety plan is important. You need to think about where you can go to be safe. Do you have friends you can stay with? Do you have family you can stay with? Have you packed important papers that you might need? Are they in a place where you can grab them quickly? Your passport, your birth certificate, what about prescriptions and medical records and things like that? In other words, if you really think you may be unsafe and you may have to leave quickly, you have to have organized your life with that in mind.
Sage advice. We'll be right back after this brief message to wrap up.
Unexpected medical crises can turn lives upside down. Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Barbara called. I could tell something was wrong. She was calling from the hospital. Her husband had a stroke. Harry was going to need care in a long-term facility, perhaps for the rest of his life.
Barbara couldn't find the necessary documents.
Unfortunately, this is all too common. One spouse gets sick and the other spouse has absolutely no idea where the financial records are.
Harry quickly got the care he needed. In addition to helping Barbara gather and submit the appropriate paperwork, the experts at Littman Crooks also helped access government-financed health care to help pay Harry's medical bills.
Although we can't help Harry get better, Barbara has the peace of mind of knowing their hard-earned family assets will be available to help pay for Barbara's care in the future and to pass on to their children and grandchildren and not be eaten away by the cost of Harry's long-term care.
When a medical crisis strikes, call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We've just got a few moments left, ladies, and I want to give you an opportunity to tell the listeners how they can get in touch. Joan, let's start with you.
Our helpline number is 914-287-0739, and the center's general number is 914-422-4069.
And Susan?
And to reach Elder Abuse Services, 422-4633.
Ladies, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show tonight.
Thank you so much, Bernie.
Thank you, Bernie.
Keep up the good work.
Okay. Our pleasure, too.
I'm Bernie Crooks from the law firm Littman Crooks, your host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're heard every Thursday from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. Talk to you next week. Good night.
Rely on us for great music and friendly personalities. Westchester's soft favorites, AM 1230 WFAS.
WFAS.